I'm going to just say what he said. He didn't realize Herbert Field was under attack, that they were going to lose that. He asked everyone in the room to treat it the same way they did with the museum. If you know people on the House Armed Services Committee, the Armed Services Committee, the threat's real. It's a political thing, and it shouldn't be for either Democrats or Republicans, but it is.
This is Commissioner Mike Kohler, who was talking about the visit from Senator Rick Scott last week. He was here as part of his Keep Our Kids Safe initiative, but also talking, you know, about NES Pensacola. And obviously, we were at the time we had kind of just gotten over the threat to the entirety of the AFSOC community leaving. First Sow leaving Herbert, which wound up not happening, but still 600 jobs is not nothing. That's significant. Joining us now by phone, we have Senator Rick Scott. Senator, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. You know what's frustrating is the Biden administration is making these decisions based on politics, not based on the mission. I mean, what we ought to be focused on is where can we provide the best mission to keep this country safe? And Florida, we put unbelievable efforts. The Panhandle put unbelievable efforts to make sure, one, our military men and women want to serve there. Two, their families want to be there, which makes, if they're, you know, think about it, if they're happier, they're probably going to serve better. Also, it's a great place to retire, so people want to be here. We made sure we solve problems around their bases, encroachments, things like that. So this is just purely a Biden political decision, not in the best interest of our military.
You know, it's the question that we saw this scare with Hurlburt, right? And of course, a little bit down the road here at NAS Pensacola and with Whiting, we're not as concerned about Whiting because of all the work that's been done to preserve that. And as I know you're well aware, Commissioner Don Salter, who was so instrumental in that, just passed away this Sunday, working 20 years on protecting that base. But NAS Pensacola, these rumblings have been around for a while, and they've recently gotten, louder because of the concern about the high price tag for restoring the base post-Sally, longstanding concerns about education in the surrounding community, the quality of education, and worries about the price of housing, quite frankly, because, military members don't get paid a ton, and if they can't afford the housing off base, that's a challenge too. Then you add this wrinkle of the political dimension of, Biden finding, hey, can we benefit Arizona at the expense of Florida and maybe help a swing state when it comes up to the election? What do we need to do to protect ourselves, and how real is the threat that missions at NAS Pensacola or even Whiting might leave?
Well, I think we have to take this very seriously. When I was governor, what we did is I met with base commander meetings every 120 days, and we just went through what are the issues at the base, and we put a lot of effort to make sure if there's another BRAC that we're going to be prepared. Well, they didn't even do BRAC. They didn't do any review. They just decided to make a political decision. So I think we have to understand elections have consequences, and we've got to make sure, we win, have control of the House, the Senate, and the White House, because when you have a Democrat control in the White House, we and one of the branches of the Senate in this case, they make the decisions, and there's nothing we can do about it. So we've got to fight every day, but make sure we have the best education system, make sure our military men and women have their families want to be there. Like we waived all sorts of things to make sure spouses could get jobs, their kids could get in the right schools, the kids, if they had special needs, they got into right programs. We did all these things. And when I left, I think everybody's pretty comfortable that we were the best place for anybody who wanted to serve in the country, as long as it's a place we can serve the mission. We're the right place to serve our mission. We got the best training area in the world with the Gulf, and we've got to preserve that. But did you follow the latest? The Biden administration wants to cut all boats to 10 knots in the Gulf, and so that's also going to impact us. So we got to fight all these things. It's crazy.
Yeah,
the Biden administration, I don't know who up there makes crazy decisions, but every day they just decide, let's make another crazy decision today. It's bad for people.
There's another dimension of this. I know you and Senator Rubio have issued a letter basically saying that the status of the Miami Veterans Administration facility is horrible, that they don't even have functioning air conditioning there. We don't have that particular problem here, but this issue of the VA and of the backlog and of just things like, if you're going to get mental health counseling, that you have to go through the VA in order to get it, which delays because you have wait times there, and the inability to get surgeries because you'll have to go to Alabama. I think it's Montgomery is the closest facility. I don't know what's the solution there, but it seems like we need to be doing more to help the veterans in terms of their medical care, and even locally just having facilities to handle the medical needs, especially in such a high military concentration as here.
So first off, we've got to do everything we can to take care of our men and women that have served. They've been willing to put on the uniform to protect this country. I was very honored to serve in the U.S. Navy. My dad served in the Army during the Second World War. One of 3,000 people that did all four combat jumps for the 82nd Airborne. I'm very proud of my family's military service. Now, everybody that serves, you need to be treated with respect. And with regard to health care, you should get the best health care in the world. What we've got to do is we've got to create a system that, one, we have the right equipment, the right facilities, but we have measurement to make sure we are the best. And that's why the VA has to constantly get better. It's very frustrating. There's wonderful people at the VA, wonderful people that work at the VA, but often the bureaucracy gets in the way of doing good things.
Yeah, I know it's very frustrating, especially for somebody like you whose heart is so close to the Navy in particular and the military in general. When I look at just the numbers, during Trump's administration, inflation was in the, you know, 1.5, 2, 2+ kind of vicinity. Historically, 3 is not that weird. We were as high as 9 last June, but in the last year, it has steadily declined. June was 3.0 and July was 3.2. Is it fair to give credit to Joe Biden for fixing some of the inflationary problems that maybe, you know, he was partially responsible for causing?
Well, first off, inflation is not down. I mean, look at even the Biden numbers it's up over 16% since he got elected. So when he gets back to zero in his time in office, then maybe he can take some credit for something. But go to the grocery store. Do you think prices are coming down? Look at the rent. Look at the price of a new car. Look at home prices. I mean, inflation is not down. So I think I don't know what numbers they're coming up with, but if you go to the grocery store, you sure wouldn't say the price of food's coming down. And even with the Biden numbers, it's over 16% since he got elected. So he's got a lot of work to do to get it back down to zero.
Yeah, I guess I would say that it's not, you know, inflation would mean that it's continuing to go up. I have seen it stabilized to some degree. And, you know, when I go to the grocery store, that's what I see. But certainly I agree with you that it's way up over where it was, you know, 2 years ago. We've got a big debate coming up on Wednesday. Obviously, tomorrow night, you're well aware of this. President Trump is not going to participate, even though he is the massive, by far, front runner in all the polls. Do you think he should sign the pledge? Do you think he should participate in the debate?
Well, I think he can make those decisions, for himself. I mean, you know, he must think that, he doesn't need to do the debate. So I'm looking forward to watching the debate and seeing what people do. I want to hear, you know, each person, what their plan is to fix what Biden's done, fix the inflation, secure the border, make sure our military is lethaler than woke. We got a lot of problems in this country. The Biden administration and Democrats are trying to destroy it, trying to teach our kids that this is a racist country. So we need to have bold leadership. So I want to hear what people are going to say and what they're going to do. But Trump's making a choice, which he thinks is best for his campaign.
You know, speaking of that, you and I have talked before about wokeism in the military. Of course, again, we talked earlier about the military strength. We right now are without three branches having a leader, the Army, the Marines, and now the Navy, because of the one-person filibuster by Coach Tuberville, Senator Tuberville, over abortion policy within the military, which I very much understand his protest here. But we are now without many promotions and without three leaders in these three branches. Is this healthy for our country, even for that particular issue?
Well, first off, Schumer can bring them up for a vote right now. All that Senator Tuberville is doing is saying you're not going to do it on an accelerated basis. So if Schumer wanted to have a vote on these things, he could do it. He could do it the day we get back. He could bring them up, and we could have voted on all three of those nominations the first day. So this is a decision by Chuck Schumer. Now, you know, it's been longstanding policy in this country that the government doesn't pay for abortion, and what the military is doing is basically doing that. And Senator Tuberville has every right to make this, you know, take the decision, do this what he's doing to do. And by the way, a Democrat senator did this in the last 4 years, and there was over 1,000 people that didn't get advanced. So this is not the first time it's happened. It's frustrating. The Biden administration could solve this. Chuck Schumer could solve this, but neither of them want to. They want to talk about it rather than solve the problem.
Yeah, and I'm with you. The Hyde Amendment is such a key principle historically on that we do not spend in this direction by any element of the federal government. Hey, last thing. We've only got about 45 seconds left, but I did want to give you a chance to talk about your Keep Our Kids Safe initiative and what you're trying to do with regards to drugs and border control.
When Ann and I were raising our two daughters, we didn't have to worry about a lot of things that are going on today. We didn't have to worry about school shootings. I've got a bill that would put armed law enforcement in every public and private school in the country. I want to get that done. Number two, we got to secure the borders so we get the fentanyl off the streets. And number three, social media is a problem.
We got to
solve this.
No kidding. And the things that it's doing to our kids, their image of themselves, their brain development, and all of that. It's unbelievable. Senator Rick Scott, thank you so much for the time this morning. And thanks for fighting for us in Congress, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Have a great day. Bye-bye.